It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, 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 closet dwellers and closet busters. It is time once again for another episode of the Coming Out Lounge. I'm your host, Rick Clemens, the coming out guy, the coming out host, whatever you want to call me. Today, I'm really excited about my guest. And as we get into it, you'll understand why this is such a unique, beautiful story. But for a moment, I just want you to envision that you hear Madonna's Vogue playing in the background. And you're at your bar mitzvah, and suddenly this pulsing beat and everything gets you dancing and moving and grooving, and all eyes are on you. And what they're seeing is the real you, the authentic you. And in that moment, as a 13-year-old, you have no earthly frickin' fucking idea where this dance may take you. But it is part of your story. It's part of your truth. It's part of you being fully transparent as you are. And today I want you to meet somebody who's got an interesting connection to one of the hottest, one of the hottest shows around, dealing with one of the biggest issues around about transgender and families and parenting and all that sort of stuff. His name is Sean Sperling. He's a bar mitzvah dancer extraordinaire, speaker, attorney, advocate of civil rights. And through his thought-provoking programs and talks at colleges and universities across the nation, he's really committed to bringing his audiences to a place of openly embracing their truths and helping them learn to love themselves authentically. And of course, helping everybody dance like everyone is watching. Welcome to the Coming Out Lounge, my new buddy, Sean. Hey, Sean, thanks for being here, man.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's really cool to have you here. And I've alluded to little bits and pieces. And I didn't just bring Sean onto this because he has some unique tie to the show Transparent. I brought him on because a friend of ours, mutual friend of ours, who's a speaker at college and universities, said, hey, this guy would be really great for you to have on your show. And then he kind of talked about you and all this great stuff. And TJ was just, you know, saying all these things. And as we were about to hang up, he goes, oh, and have you ever seen this show, Transparent? I'm like, yeah, and I'm going to leave that for a little bit later in the show. So you really have truly taken and devoted a life to really helping people be who they are, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of become my life's work. And I think, you know, my mission in life is to help people live their truths, to be able to show up and be seen for exactly who they are. Right. And I do consider it kind of a calling and a huge privilege, and now almost a responsibility to do it.
Mm, that's awesome. You know, you and I are in a very similar space because as I've done the coming out work, it has become that, you know, it's not just coming out of the closet stuff. Now I'm working with a lot of people of coming out to say, this is who I want to be. This is how I want to show up in life. And I feel like, yeah, this is what I was put here on the earth to do. So what was the beginning of all this for you, Sean, where you really started to realize, yep, this is what I'm called to do? Where did you feel that first spark?
Well, I will say this, that throughout my life, I've known that this spark existed. I've known kind of, you know, definitely subconsciously, we'll get to the point when it like very much became clear and I had the opportunity to share my story and to do this work. But I think at a very young age, I was able to show up and be seen for exactly who I was. And that was, you know, a real gift and a privilege that I've been given throughout my life from, I think, my parents, my environment, my communities that I've been in. And, you know, whether you want to call it spirit or God or energy, I do very much believe that there is this energy in me that allows me to be authentic. And what I've noticed from a very young age is that people are attracted to that. Yep. And not only are they attracted to that, and that's like, oh, that's great. People want to be around me. That's just a little part of it. The most beautiful thing about this energy that I have is that I've seen firsthand that when I'm able to show up and be authentic, that others are able to do the same. Mm-hmm. And as I've gotten older, I also realized, even having this energy, which I believe I have, I also struggle with it.
Yep.
And I'm more aware of that, that every day there are, you know, certain environments where I do struggle. And that's where the real connection comes in and where I think the work comes in, because I can relate with people in that, on that level.
Yeah, I've noticed that myself too, because, you know, in a conversation like this, I feel very comfortable showing up as myself. And then in certain other places, I feel really good. And then there'll be those moments where I'm like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel safe or doesn't feel comfortable. But then those moments, I feel like that's the universe channeling through me saying, here's your little kick in the ass reminder that you're not done yet, buddy. You still got to you've still got to feel this, because, you know, in my world of coaching and, you know, personal development, one of the mantras is you're always only a couple of steps ahead of those that you're being put on the earth to serve. And I love when the universe kicks me in the ass, like, you know, when the ego starts getting in the way and like, okay, I got this, I'm helping. And it's like, well, wait, you need to experience something, man. You need to kind of, you know, have that wake up call.
If anything I've learned about, you know, helping people and inspiring people and doing this work as a speaker, if anything I've learned, it's that like they connect when, like, people connect when you relate with them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being aware of my struggles of authenticity is so much more important than, you know, the kind of, I don't know, those winning moments, like you say, like in a conversation like this, like, you know, now as I'm, you know, in my mid approaching late 30s, I realize I'm more keen to those environments where I do not feel like I can be authentic. And so when I'm in those environments now, I'm doing one of two things. I'm either challenging myself to really let those guard down and do the work that I preach. Or the other thing is realizing those situations where I do not feel comfortable and feel authentic and realize that as an adult, guess what? You really don't necessarily have to be in those places most of the time. So kind of avoiding people in places that don't make me feel like I can be authentic.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like you said, at the same time, continuing to challenge myself and show up, at least give it my all.
So you have, like many of us, felt this thing, you know, you're supposed to be doing, how you're supposed to be showing up. So when was that moment for you? You know, because this is the Coming Out Lounge and we talk to people from all walks of life, all ages, different coming out stories. But for you, when was that moment you really realized, oh, I know I'm that gay guy?
Okay, well, there's two, I think, yeah, there's a couple things I can tell you about that. One is...
Okay, so everybody just kick back, grab your drinks.
Yeah,
here we go.
Grab a drink, whatever you're enjoying. I know, I was actually thinking before this, I should have poured myself a drink and sat back.
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny because usually, okay, so here's true confessions of the Coming Out Lounge. Usually when I am, you know, recording these podcasts, usually I will have a glass of wine, unless it's like morning or something like that, because it's just, well, first it kind of helps me relax a little bit. Not that I'm like, oh my God, we're on stage, because, you know, we're not, but it's like, oh, this seems to go better. And then it just, but now I'm doing the lovely Whole 30 diet plan. So no alcohol, no sugars, all that stuff.
Oh,
so we're
well
in a, yeah. Okay. Now we're back to the Sean story.
Yeah,
it's all his.
So,
here we go.
So I will tell you this, that, you know, the kind of coming out, the gay coming out story is, and it's very much linked to my kind of coming out as my purpose and what I'm doing now and the beautiful introduction you gave me. But I came out, you know, at a really young age for the time. It was, I came out when I was 15 and it was the early 90s. So I was the first kind of, you know, I was the first in my high school and it was this big deal and it was, you know, it was all the talk, you know, and it was something that people hadn't done. And when I came out, it really, you know, this is kind of going back to this like energy that I was given. I don't know why, you know, I don't know why I had that strength. I do know that I had support and love in my life. And that's probably, you know, the biggest reason.
Sure.
But there's this other divine intervention that came through me and that I didn't have to think about it. I just lived, you know, my truth. And I changed. I know that I had an effect on my community and a lot of people, you know, in my surroundings. So that came when I was 15 years old. Now, look a couple years before that to what you were alluding to in the introduction. So when I was 13, I was bar mitzvahed.
Yeah.
And when it came time to choose the theme of my party, which is something that a lot of Jewish kids get, is they get this huge party and they get to choose a theme. And being a very expressive young man, gay man, I didn't know it at the time, but I wanted my theme to be Madonna. Now, that was not typical, but most kids had themes of, you know, sports and action heroes and cars and that kind of thing. Uh-huh. And when my, you know, my, I knew I wanted a Madonna themed bar mitzvah, and my mom was waiting. She's like, what is your theme going to be? And then I just kind of broached the subject really gently. And I said, you know, I wanted a Madonna themed bar mitzvah. And, you know, being the greatest parents I could imagine, you know, they were like, if that's what you're into, of course, let's do it. So, you know, it was so great. We had, you know, busts of Madonna on each table, and we had a big banner of Madonna behind the DJ, and each table was named after a Madonna song.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and we had T-shirts that we gave to the kids that said, I voted with Sean at Sean's bar mitzvah with a picture of Madonna. You know, I can look back now and say that is probably the gayest bar mitzvah that one could have.
And that's awesome.
The biggest thing was that I, you know, was very dramatic, and I wanted to have a big dramatic entrance. And so for months, I practiced this dance to Vogue. Uh-huh. So I had a choreographed dance. My sisters helped me. And, you know, after I read from the Torah and it came time for the party, he introduced me, and I did, you know, this full-on five-minute dance to Vogue.
Right.
And that was in 1992. So it was something that, you know, was well received. I never got any inclination from my parents that there was any concern or worry about me doing it, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I had all this support, and I had the party that I wanted. And so there's this video that, you know, was in my mother's crawl space for the last, you know, had been in there for 20 years. And I had told people about the bar mitzvah, and mm-hmm. had told friends, and, you know, people loved the story, but I never shared the video. And so about 4 years ago, I was doing some writing. I was actually, we can get into this too later, but at this point I had become an attorney, and I was living this kind of, not a buttoned up life, but my day life was kind of not in conjunction with the rest of my life, I'll say, let's talk about that when the time comes. But so I started doing some writing, some creative writing, and I wrote a story about my bar mitzvah. And so I dug the video out to share at this performance. I was going to show the video and tell the story with it. And this was 4 years ago in August. And I put the video on YouTube just because I had it, you know, I didn't expect anything from it. And it went, you know, super viral. And it was on all of the news media sources, you know, CNN, MSNBC, Huffington Post. And then the talk show started contacting me. And I went on just this incredible viral whirlwind where I was on Jimmy Kimmel Live and the Today Show and Huffington Post Live. And then it all kind of, climax of the experience was being on Ellen. And mm-hmm. when Madonna was on the show.
Oh, wow.
And so all of this was happening, and this is what occurred to me. So, you know, I had been, you know, I was practicing as a lawyer, and it was fine, and it provided me with a lot of challenges, and it kind of went against the grain of who I was, which I actually now value. I always have valued that. But I always wanted to be a motivational speaker. It was mm-hmm. this thing, like, since I was a kid, I think I heard a Wayne Dyer cassette my mom had, and I loved what he did, and I wanted to help people, and I knew I had this voice, and that maybe I could do something. So when this went viral, you know, a lot of wild things were happening, but I knew immediately that this was my calling, because while I was on these talk shows and all, you know, as I was being interviewed, all of these, you know, Ellen would say something about, you know, a joke about me being gay and dancing in my bar mitzvah. And the Today Show just wanted to see this now 33-year-old lawyer dancing like a monkey at their, they wanted to see me dance now. I had to really work to get the message across. Right. And that message was, look what is possible when we're able to be ourselves and when we have the support to be authentic. Mm-hmm. And I knew immediately, because of the responses I was getting from real human beings, you know, not just the media, but like I was getting hundreds of emails from, you know, kids who were saying like, wow, you know, you're a real inspiration. And, you know, other gay guys who were like, girl, I was just like you when I was your age, but I didn't have the balls to do what you did. And then, you know, I would have parents who would say like, my only hope is to instill in my children the same self-respect and confidence you had. It was that, it just hit me immediately during, in the start of all the madness, that I said to myself, no matter what happens from all of this, mm-hmm. I'm going to stay grounded and I'm going to use this as, you know, kind of as the vehicle to get this message across. So which what was awesome for me is I got this national audience right away, right. International audience,
yeah, exactly,
to share this message. From that point, so many things doors have opened because of that video, including my involvement with the show Transparent, which I can share with you. But ultimately what it's done is it's allowed me to share this message. And whether that's in just people seeing the video and getting it, or seeing one of my talks, or me writing an article, it's a hook that has gotten people to say, you know, to see kind of an example.
Right.
And that's what I want to see in this world, is that no matter what, I think that the most important thing that we can learn in our lifetime is just how to be authentic. And you know, as we alluded to in the beginning of our conversation, I do think it is a lifelong journey.
Yep.
And I think it's ebb and flow. And I think it doesn't end, and nothing is kind of, you know, it's all one day you wake up and you feel like you can be in your own shoes. And the next day you're challenged. And, you know, it's this game we play, and it's the most important game.
Well, it is an important game. And what I find so fascinating about what you just shared, and those who are regular subscribers to the podcast have heard me say this before, but as I do my work, and a lot of my work has been focused around people who come out late in life, what I find so interesting is they come to do the work to come out. But oftentimes that coming out journey takes them to other authentic spaces of their life that they had no idea they were going to impact. So it may be, you know, I know in my journey, you know, as I came out, I suddenly became really fit. And it wasn't because I wanted to get laid. It was because I let go of a lot of stuff. And then I'm like, okay, I want to start learning to run, or I want to start, you know, cycling. And that's exactly what I did. And then I wanted to be more in my career, and I went through some big career changes. So as I watch clients do this, in fact, I just was working with a client before we got on here to record this today. And one of the biggest changes that he has gone through since he came out of the closet was learning to be alone with himself, not having to be surrounded by roommates or living with somebody. He's just changing his career for the first time. He's young, he's 26. So he's just going through that first, okay, I'm in this job now, I'm going to my second one. And he's moving out to live on his own for the very first time. All of that culminated from him becoming secure in being who he was and coming out of the closet as a gay man. And as we wound up the conversation today, he said, you know, I just need you to know that that first night, that first conversation that we had about me coming out of the closet, if you would have told me 3 years ago that it would lead me to bravely taking the step to go live on my own, to change jobs, to all these things, he goes, I would have told you to go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
And so I find it so powerful, because that's what you basically just said, is this really embracing who you are, really letting it guide you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, it's like when you, it's like an onion, you know, there's just so many layers. And when you release a huge, you know, layer or a mask or whatever you want to call it, so much is ready there to blossom. And I see that also in other, like you said, in other areas of my life where, you know, I realize like if I own something else in my life,
right,
you know, it all of a sudden opens up other things. And that's what self-discovery is all about. Yeah. And it's things that are hidden. And that's what a lot of my work, you know, is about. And I imagine a lot of your work is too, is like finding those things that we don't even know that we're hiding from the world. You know, like one kind of big thing for me was my father passed away 11 years ago. So, you know, it's been a long time. And, you know, as when people die, you glorify their existence. And I will always, you know, value my father and love him and be so grateful for what he provided for me. But I also knew that there was more to the story. And I, you know, I really wanted to dig into that. And I knew my father was an alcoholic and he was recovering since I was born.
Yeah.
So I never knew him to be a drinker, but my sisters did. And when I started really digging into what it meant to grow up in an alcoholic household,
right,
and learning more about my father, I learned so much more about myself, and just recognizing that part of my life, mm-hmm. like owning that part and being able to express that as part of my story, it released so many more layers. Yeah. And I started seeing behaviors that I have in my life because of, you know, growing up in an alcoholic family. So my point of that is like, yeah, when you open one door or, you know, shed one layer, there's just so much more there. And the more that we can do that, the more we can discover about ourselves and own those aspects, as painful and ugly and icky as they may be, like that's when you're able to do things like your client and if living on your own or being independent or having love in your life, like that you need to look at those ugly things.
Yeah.
We oftentimes, I think, things are very black and white. Like, you know, I haven't fallen in love or I have problems in relationships because, you know, I'm not good looking enough. I'm not smart. All that, you know, you put
all
it
at stuff.
One
yeah.
thing. But yeah. really, you have to dig so deep to figure yeah. out what those things are. And I think coming out for those of us who are, you know, gay, bisexual, transgender, it releases so much more.
Yeah.
And then the other aspect of that is that there's so much more than that.
There is.
And so sometimes I wonder too if I was a little stunted because I came out so young and I was so comfortable with who I was at a young age that I kind of went through a period of my life where I was like, oh, I've got it all figured out. I've got life figured out. I've got things figured out that, you know, people won't have figured out for 20 years.
Right.
And during that time, actually, you know, I could have been doing a lot more exploring, and that's, you know, I'm doing it now.
Yeah, but that's what I was going to just say. You're doing it now, and there's the lesson in this. You
mm-hmm.
know, you, I think I know, you know, you said you're, you know, heading into your late 30s, and I wanted to go, shut up, bitch.
I know.
Hello, I'm in my mid-50s here, so here we go. But, you know, but what I find so interesting is the more life that you live, the more you're able to look at the life you've lived and really learn from it. You know, I used to like think about my dad saying similar things, but in a different way because he was alcoholic and one day you'll learn and da, da, da. I'm like, yeah, fuck you, dad. You know, this isn't, mm-hmm. isn't going to be what it is, but yet it is so true. I see it in my own self. I see it as a parent. I see it the, you know, the way I sometimes approach things with my kids. Oh, you're going to learn one of these days. But the thing is you get to learn that when you're ready.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most beautiful gifts about being authentically who you are. Is learning that piece. You know, you and I do work in similar contexts, you know, a lot of stuff in university settings and stuff. And, you know, I've had a couple of people go, you know, kids today, they don't want to hear about this authenticity piece. They already are being who they are. I'm like, you don't realize that they're not.
Mm-hmm.
To me, and maybe it's just my perspective on the world, I think kids today are even more challenged. Yes, there's a lot more ability to go be who you are. But they're more challenged to go do it because they're getting hammered right and left by what it looks like to be this and that entrepreneur and doing this thing. And it's like, okay, well, how do I go stand out in my own way?
Yeah.
It's just, to me, it's too challenging these days.
It's so challenging. And you know, I look at my nieces and I look at the people that I speak to and I look at their lives and how, you know, how much harder it is to stand out
mm-hmm.
and the pressures to stand out and the pressures to have a persona.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually feel that pressure all the time where I'm like, oh my God, like, you know, is my online presence like what it should be? And so I start getting into like, into that like rat race of oh my God, I need to be posting more. I need to be posting less. I need to be saying this. I need to comment on that. And you know, that is an iota of what I think kids are experiencing.
I agree 100%.
And I think about as a kid, like, yeah, it was like you were popular or you were not, but that was up for interpretation. You know, like it was all mm-hmm. that weird pressure as a kid you have. But now it's like people look at like how many likes did you get? How many friends do you have? Mm-hmm. How many followers? And that pressure could, I mean, it's too much.
Well, it is too much because you have to couple it then with you got all this social media pressure on top of all the normal life pressure of making good grades, getting through school, you know, all these other things. It's like there's been a whole new dimension layered on top of this stuff. And, you know, I like you, I get it because I'm raising kids, but then I've also got my own you know, personal brand persona right. that I'm constantly thinking about. And it's like, some days I just go, you know, there'll be days where I go, oh, wait, that, you know, that post didn't get put up that was supposed to go up. And I kind of have a weird little freak out moment. I'm like, who cares?
Right.
The world is still spinning. The sun is still coming up. You're still breathing. So who cares? And I think that's the thing that so many of, you know, kids, and I'm putting kids in like a big kid room.
Yeah.
Everything from young to all the way on up, you know, they really are surrounded by this whole thing. In fact, I was at National Speakers Association this summer and I had a conversation with someone around this about, and we were sitting out by the pool just kind of in between sessions, and there was about a, I would say probably no more than a 3-year-old little boy out there playing. And he got kind of cranky and stuff. So the first thing the mom did was hand him the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, the next generation is not going to know anything but that electronic thing in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
They will never have known anything but that. They will never right. have known. And so everything that goes with that also will be everything they will judge themselves against.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a powerful way to look at that. And so how do you yeah. then become an authentic person when your person is completely tied to some electronic format?
To a device and yeah. to messaging of like, yes. this is how you're supposed to be. I just wonder what survival yes. skills kids are going to have. And yeah, it concerns me a lot. And I'm constantly trying to figure out how to get that message across. And to help people be comfortable in their own skin and to be present. I mean, being present is so important. Mm-hmm. And like, I see it even among my peers, my friends, where it's yes. like, hey, can't we just enjoy this night without having a picture posted and showing the world how cool we are?
Yeah.
I mean, and then I have to reiterate, like, I get caught in it too, of course. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I want to show the world that I'm, you know, that I'm all right, that I'm yeah. doing great. And, you know, I was having this conversation with my mom actually just the other day because, you know, I was at the Golden Globes. I had right, this incredible right. opportunity to go to the Golden Globes. And I posted a picture of me, you know, on the red carpet. And, you know, the truth is I'm new to LA. I've awesome opportunities and I'm doing some cool shit, of course. And I'm right. very lucky and I'm very grateful for that. But I am living the LA struggle right now where it's like one night during the day, Sunday day, I was waiting tables.
Uh-huh.
And then Sunday night, I'm at the fucking Golden Globes.
Exactly.
And so, but then I post a picture on my social media and everybody goes ballistic. Oh, my God. Oh, look at you. You've made it. You're living this, you know, all it portrays this image.
It does.
And I do struggle because I do want to be clear about, you know, the authenticity of the situation. But part of the authenticity is like, yeah, look at me. I'm at the Golden Globe.
Well, exactly. And I think I'm so glad you brought that up, Sean, because this is that interesting space where everything twists. It's like, let's not be ashamed. I think my generation, and to some degree, even your generation, but my generation for sure was raised in an environment of don't promote yourself. Go do your work, do your thing. You know, yes. don't be that person who's like, it's all about me, me, me. And now we're kind of in a generation where we're saying self-care and self, you know, love and all that stuff is much better. But I know I battle with my parents' generation and my parents around this stuff of, oh my God, you're just putting yourself up. You're da-da-da. It's like, no, this is what it means to have a good self-esteem and to love and care about yourself. But then you have that little fine line where it can flip and then everybody starts coming at you with, oh my God, you're so egocentric and blah, 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 blah. So I think this is a really poignant, beautiful space to be talking about because it actually even relates to calling attention to yourself as an LGBTQ individual, that people get mm-hmm. so hung up on that. It's like, oh yeah, so you think you're so different. Well, we actually are different, but we're also very much the same. So if you people would just get off your fucking shit and realize, yes, I'm different because I am attracted to men or I'm attracted to women or I'm trans. But the rest of us is pretty much the same. And if you just let it go, then we can flip the fine line once again and go, okay, let's not let the egos and stuff get in the way here.
That's right. I mean, it's about like not letting the ego get in the way. And I think that relates too to like, how we promote ourselves is, whether it's your brand is in your business or whether it's your personal life, like just making sure, like questioning, is this true? You know, is what I'm showing the world true? Now, it's all shades of gray, right?
Absolutely.
Like, the truth is, I'm not going to post a picture of me that morning, you know, at the restaurant, you know, busting my ass. I might. I mean, I might at some point, but I don't have to do that.
Right.
But at the same time, I have to be, for me, it's really important for me, especially in the line of work I do and what I'm trying to promote, to be very truthful about my life with celebrating, you know, and also, like, you know, maybe this sounds a bit egocentric, but I also know that, like, showing my friends and family and whoever follows me, like, a glimpse of me on the red carpet is really cool, too.
It is really cool.
You know? But I do think it's a balance. And I don't think enough people actually, like, think about that balance.
No, I don't
either. Like, the balance of self-promotion, self-celebration, self-care, and balancing that with the ego.
What's so interesting about what you're just bringing up, though, is, and, you know, you and I, again, we both work in this arena, is I think the transparency piece, and I want to get back to transparent before we wrap everything up, but I think the transparency piece says, just like you, you know, you said to me, and so Sean and I were having a conversation about his Golden Globe experience before he came on the podcast, but when you show your transparent self, it humanizes the online experience that people actually dream up about you. So I remember back in June, July, whenever it was that I, you know, on the spur of the moment, went to Tokyo and did a TEDx. Everybody's like, oh my God, this, and like, yeah, this was really exciting. You know, it was really cool. But simultaneously, as I was posting about that, I was also posting about, you know, I'm really nervous because I am throwing this thing together in a week and I'm struggling with the script. And, you know, I woke up this morning just ready to pull, you know, in a different, because I wanted to humanize this experience. So that people could go, wow, Rick is doing things. He's helping people. He's this guy who has, you know, a pretty decent following online. And he's also really, really human. It's so much more powerful when you can do that and bring that
to it. It is so much more powerful. And we see this time and time again with celebrities, with politicians, the people who are not afraid to be vulnerable and share their vulnerabilities are those that we learn from and those that we grow from. And in all honesty, I think I could do a better job of it. I do think, you know, sometimes I can, you know, write a post or write a blog post about the struggles I'm having in LA rather than showing this world this, you know, this image, because the image is strong.
Well, yeah, but just what you've done here, you know, on this episode shows how you can be really transparent and open and vulnerable, and it will help someone else. And I think in the coming out journey, this is one of the key pieces to me, is once you open that doorway and you show the vulnerability for the first time, and it kind of goes back to something we talked about earlier about then other things you find, you can go do these other things. It's that moment of transparent vulnerability, and I'm kind of even getting some goosebumps as I say it. The first time you really experience yourself being able to do that, it makes it so much easier to do it the next time, because being in really good relationships with people is going to require you to be transparent and vulnerable. When you're with a partner, you're going to have to do that at times. Being able to achieve what you want to achieve, there are going to be times, you know, that you're going to have to say, I don't know if I can make it through this. I don't know if I can go after that job. I don't know if I can do one more all night thing, you know. I don't know if I can wait another frickin' table, you know.
Right.
It's no, that sort so of true. Stuff. So,
yeah, I think that's, I just think that that is such a key to what we're trying to do in this world. And the key that unlocks that, you know, those layers is being able to be vulnerable.
So the one little kind of surprise to this whole video thing that we haven't really yet addressed is now what's happened with that video that's really part of probably the reason that you were at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, so this is how I'm involved with Transparent. It's really a fun story. But when I came out to LA, you know, 4 years ago to be on Ellen, actually, I also interviewed on a podcast called Rana and Beverly, which is my favorite podcast. They're just, it's two comedians who play older Jewish women. It's a great show. And I became friends with them on Facebook. and this is a bit of a sordid story, but I'll cut to the chase. And I saw that they were friends with on Facebook with Jill Soloway, who is the creator of the show Transparent. But Transparent was not in existence at that point 4 years ago. It was just in the very early stages of the pilot. But Jill Soloway happens to be a very, very distant cousin of mine that I met once when I was 10, and I always kind of followed her career. So I reached out and I said, I'm sure you don't remember me. We met when I was 10 and I was on your friend's podcast and I have this video and yada, yada, yada. And she had written, you know, for 6 Feet Under and United States of Terror. And I really did love her career and I wanted to know her. And when she wrote back, she said, I can't believe that's your video, that you're my cousin. I love that video. I've shared it a million times. So we're now connected. And then about a year later, I see that they're doing Transparent and I see the pilot and I think it's brilliant and I know that it's going to change the world. So I'm so excited just from an outside, I mean, total outsider standpoint. And out of the blue, Jill calls me or, you know, messages me and says, can you call me? And she said, this is really crazy, but her executive producers who put together the opening credits used my bar mitzvah video in the opening credits. And when they showed her, they said, we think this video captures the essence of the show and we want to use it, but we don't know who this guy is. We don't know who it belongs to and if we're going to get the rights. And she's like, holy shit, that's my cousin who I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
So she asked me for permission to use it. And I said, I would be honored. I love what you're doing. Take whatever you want. You know, I signed, you know, a license agreement from the rights. So I'm honored at this point that it's going to be in the show. That's all I need. And then she says very casually, if you're in LA this summer, you should come by to the set and meet the cast. You know, you're part of the family, like actually part of the family, but part of this show family. And we would love to have you. So I just said, whenever you tell me when to be there and I'll be there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, set a date. I'm planning to go out there, and out of the blue, her casting director calls and says, Jill wants to offer you a part in the show. So I am over the moon. I go to LA. I have a little part in the show, first season, and I'm thrilled, and all of this stuff is happening, and I love what they're doing. And, you know, I still was a lawyer, still, you know, started speaking and doing things that really mattered, but LA was really calling my name for about a year, and, you know, I hope a lot of your listeners, you know, have seen Transparent because it is such a like earth-shattering, life-changing show. It really has done a lot. And so it's just amazing to be a part of it. And then one day I decided, you know, kind of on this authentic journey, I decided that I wanted to try LA and not be a lawyer for a while, or maybe not. Like I was just like kind of, you know, throwing these ideas out there for myself. And I just one day decided to do it. And when I went to Jill, who, you know, is distant family, but she said, you should do it, move here. You'll love it. It will be great for you. And why don't you come work for me? So I came out here 8 months ago and it's been such an amazing journey because, and in so many ways, but one of the biggest is like, what my expectations were are different what's actually happened, but like magic is happening, but I'm struggling and I'm figuring it out along the way. And my work with Transparent is with her production company, it's not consistent. I do a lot of cool things. I do advise her on some business and legal matters, but I'm also working creatively on some projects. And it's just this like, it's kind of just trusting the universe and trusting this path that I'm on and still kind of discovering about myself and where I belong. And so, you know, I've also been able to really dive more deeply into my speaking career and have some great projects working that, you know, I wouldn't if I didn't kind of take that leap of faith and did the, you know, doing this work of discovering who I am and where I belong and what my purpose is and just trusting that the universe will kind of guide me. And that's what's happening.
That's so awesome.
Really, yeah.
You know, when we get to the end of recording one of these podcasts, I always ask the question, what would be the best advice you would give somebody? And I think you kind of beat me to the punch there of just trusting the universe that it will guide you and it will work out in the best way that it's meant to work out for you. And it's one of the hardest things for us as humans to really buy into that concept, But what I've found, and it sounds like what you're finding too, Sean, along the way, as you've done this numerous times, is every time we allow that to happen, it may not be the thing we think it's going to be. But what does transpire when we're transparent is our best part of the journey. It just seems that's the way it always works out.
I would totally agree with you. I think, you know, along those lines, yes, it's trusting the universe. And there's two big things that come from that kind of statement to me. It's one is not being complacent. There's a very big difference, you know, of somebody who doesn't yes. know what their path is and doesn't know what to do with their life and is scared and all those things, to just resigning themselves and saying, I don't know what to do. And then there's, you know, the other, you know, somebody who just does, just does things that feel right, does things that challenge themselves, and just keeps moving forward.
Yeah.
So I think it's not being complacent and understanding and trusting the universe in the respect of nothing is linear.
Right.
And I think we all think if I do this, I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
And it never works out that way. Mm-hmm. And things will come to you if you just keep moving forward and trust.
And with that, I think that's a beautiful place to wrap it up.
Great.
You've been an awesome guest, buddy. I'm so glad you came on and shared yourself in this beautiful way that you've done with the audience today. So I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, seriously, thanks for making some time for us in the Coming Out Lounge today.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure to share it. So yeah, I appreciate it and hearing about your stuff.
And we're going to wrap it up right there, folks. I'm Rick Clemons, the Coming Out Guy, the Coming Out Coach, whatever you want to call me. You can even call me Big Teddy Bear Rick if you want to. But we're going to wrap it up, and we'll catch you in just another week on the Coming Out Lounge. Have a great one, everyone, and we'll talk to you once again real soon. Hey, 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 Closet Dwellers and Coming Out Lounge listeners. I wanted to invite you to check something out. You know, for all the years that I've been a Coming Out Coach, one thing I've learned is sometimes people come to do the work with me and they only need a little bit of help to get over something very particular and very important to them. It could be reconciling their religion and sexuality. Maybe it's learning how to have the difficult conversations where they say, I'm gay. Possibly it could be, oh my God, I'm out of the closet, but now how do I do this same-sex dating and mating sort of thing? Well, what I can tell you is throughout the years, there are common things that show up over and over and over again. And what I've heard most from my clients and listeners of the podcast is, I want a way to work with you just on these particular subjects. Yay, I am so excited because I've taken the action and I've made this possible. So how do you find out about these particular programs? You go to thecomingoutcoach.com, or if you're on the show page right now listening to the podcast or have just listened to the podcast, over to the right-hand side of the podcast description or anything is an icon that says one-on-one coaching sessions. Click on that button, you'll be taken to a page that describes each of the different 9 sessions I'm offering. They are one-on-one sessions that we can do via phone, Skype, or even FaceTime. They're very action-oriented. We go right to the topic that you want to talk about. And each of these sessions also includes a copy of my book, Frankly, My Dear, I'm Gay. So what more could you ask for? You get me for 90 minutes devoted to you, plus my book. So go check it out. See if there's something that could help you as you step out, step up, and step in to living your powerful truth. Take care. I'm Rick Clemons, the Coming Out Coach. I look forward to working with you.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more. And tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.